All right, here we go. Deep Three podcast here with Avery Wallace, the men's basketball coach at Starmont High School, ahead of the big rivalry game with Four Bush coming up on Friday as we record on Wednesday. So looking forward to that game and looking forward to talking with Avery. So Avery, if you don't mind, go ahead and introduce yourself and we'll jump in and talk about quite a few different things here.
For sure, man. Thanks for having me. My name's Avery, and I'm a Wilkes County native, so I grew up in the area, semi-local. I grew up in a big family, grew up in a church family, basketball family, so all that stuff is big to me. But I went to school in Wilkes, then I ended up going to Lees McRae and playing basketball there, getting a degree so I could come teach. And after that, I worked for a while at East Wilkes. And then when Dr. Mann, who was my principal there, came to Yakin County, a basketball job opened up here at Starmount, so came over here.
I don't think I even really knew that Dr. Mann was at East Wilkes.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure where he was at. I knew he went to Starmount a long time ago, but I didn't know you had that connection, so that's very cool. I am a Four Bush guy, but I do think some good things are going at Starmount. I think he's doing a great job. I think you're doing a great job. I've got plenty of friends here, and as a pastor of a church in the area, I try to be neutral as much as I can. We won't talk a lot about who I'm cheering for on the game Friday. I hope everybody does well. Maybe we just have a tie, all right? We're too competitive to have a tie, right?
Yeah, we'll have as many overtimes as it takes.
Yeah, I remember, we'll get into rivalries later, while I'm thinking about it. I think it was my freshman year. I think it was here at Starmount. I was playing JV for Four Bush. I think the girls' JV game went to four or five overtimes.
Goodness gracious.
And, you know, you come out, you get ready to go out, and then you got to go back in,
yeah,
and go back, all that. But, seen some good games. And, again, we'll talk rivalries here in a little bit. But while we're on sports, that's our first topic of the Deep Three is sports. I think we share a passion for sports and for basketball. So what would be your favorite sports memory?
Well, there are a lot of memories that, you know, are good memories, but I can narrow that down to probably two, if that's
okay.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
Personally, mine would be my senior year of college. The team that I played on, we won the conference championship tournament championship that year, and that was just a huge moment. It was a good day. The class I was with when we first got there, Lees McRae had some struggles in the basketball program, and we're trying to build something new. And kind of by our senior year, we were doing well and had grown, and it was fun to be a part of that. And then the other one would be the Tar Heels winning the championship.
Which one? I mean, which one?
Yeah,
did
you know. Pick? I know there's so many.
Yeah.
All of them, but
yeah.
No. In 2017, when they won against Gonzaga after losing to Villanova the year before.
That
game.
It's still painful.
Yes, and that would have been my favorite sports memory if it would have ended after Marcus Page.
Oh, man, that shot was amazing.
Yeah, I felt really bad for him. I loved Marcus Page, but
I mean, such a crazy shot that gets so overlooked now,
yeah,
based on what happened. And, yeah, I remember we had people over at the house watching that game. And the game ended, and I think people just left, and nobody said anything.
Yeah, it had Carolina fans acting crazy. I remember one of my teammates just ran and just jumped in the shower, and he had his clothes on. This was in a college dorm where we were watching it. And
yeah,
he was screaming in the hall, just acting crazy. But
it is good we had the redemption.
Yes,
I'm with you.
So Marcus, you're Carolina too?
Yes, for sure, 100%. Born and bred. Went there, was on Franklin Street in 2005 when they won that one.
That's awesome.
Yeah, 100%. We'll see how they do now. This team right now is
struggling.
Jekyll and Hyde for sure. That's a great memory as well, and awesome that you got to experience winning that conference title as a player as well. So we'll jump back into basketball here in just a little bit, but moving to culture. What's something that you can't get enough of right now? Maybe it's a TV show, it's a food, it's anything. What's something you're into right now?
So a TV show I would be really into right now is Last Chance U, the basketball version of it, not to keep talking about basketball.
No, that's
all right. It just follows this coach at East LA Community College and just kind of shows his journey with his teams. And he has a lot of guys that have struggled in school or have struggling home lives, and he just uses his program to really try and mold and develop young men. And it's fun to watch and kind of gives me some stuff that I can think about and hopefully use. But that will be a show. And then the other thing I had thought of was pasta.
Okay.
I love pasta.
Well, mac and cheese. A certain kind.
Italian pastas. My dad is part Italian.
Okay.
So growing up, we had a lot of pasta.
Yeah.
And I just love pasta.
So, just in general.
Yes. Any kind. Alfredo, red sauce, mac and cheese, whatever.
Okay. And you can eat it, and you still, you know, got this nice thin deal. So I can look at pasta, and I'm starting to gain weight. So, yeah, that's a good one. With me and pasta, I have noticed one of the things that gets me as I've gotten older is marinara sauce, man. It burns me up now. Heartburn. The heartburn is real.
Yeah.
So maybe that won't happen for you, but – and I was not older so than you far. When that happened, so
– I hope that that does not get me.
Yeah, so
okay. – I eat a lot of pasta.
Down for pasta, carbs, all that. So that's cool having that Italian heritage to – so – last chance, you have to check that one out, and I can eat some pasta for you too. That'd be no problem. All right, last one. What's something that God's teaching you right now? We talked about growing up in a church family and that being an important part of your life, and we've talked about that personally as well. So, what's something He's teaching you right now?
Self-discipline would be something I think that He's been trying to teach me for a little while, but it's something that I'm trying to work on. Just everyday life self-discipline. You know, I preach it to our team and to the kids in the classroom, and then a lot of times I find myself, I'm kind of sporadic and spontaneous in a lot of ways.
Yes.
So I have to try and hone myself in, and it's like I've made a book list for this year that I'm going to try and stick to.
Yeah.
Just trying to keep my living space clean, just stuff like that I think carries over into spiritual life, into other parts of life that I need to work on. So
yeah, I mean, I find when you're part of discipline, I think it for sure is organization. When you're organized and ready, man, it's so much different. Like, I'm so bad about walking out for the day and then where are my keys, and you know, if I'm gonna go to the gym, where are my shoes, where am I? I'm 100% with you and with the sporadic thing. So, you know, finding that time to be in the Word, finding that time to exercise, whatever it may be. You're trying to eat right, maybe you're trying to not eat as much pasta, whatever it may be, you having a plan and a routine is huge, and I am preaching to myself right now, so I'm with you on that 100%. So whenever you get this organization and discipline figured out, we'll talk again. All right. Share with me the keys of
hopefully we'll talk works. Again in between now and then, but yeah,
okay. Gotcha. So being disciplined is a huge part of life and of faith as well, for sure. So, all right, thank you for the deep three. Now we'll jump in to some overrated, underrated. We've got three things, and we've already talked a little bit before we jumped on. Like, you're like, what is this? This is odd. These are odd things, and I promise there will be a tie-in we'll talk about here in a little bit. But just kind of first thoughts on these things, and if you think they're overrated or underrated. The first one is reptiles.
I apologize beforehand if my answers are terrible.
No, it's okay. It's pretty random.
I would say it depends on the person, I guess, that you're asking, but I would say overrated. I don't want to mess with reptiles. I don't want to see reptiles.
Yeah.
I'm not a big reptile fan or person, I guess you could say. So I guess overrated for the people that love reptiles.
So there's not, you're saying there's not a good reason to love them because they seem a little scary and dangerous.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I'm with you. I 100% will agree with that. You know, so what's the tie-in between the dinosaurs and the reptiles? Same thing, whatever. Okay, so we'll get back to that tie-in in a minute. Next would be numbers. And we talked about, too, you're a history teacher. So maybe, you know, if there's a reason you like history, maybe you didn't like math, or just in general, what's your take on numbers?
I'll go ahead and say underrated on that one. I mean, I like basic math. I like. You start getting into advanced math or advanced functions, then I'm losing my mind. But I don't know. I think numbers are good. Numbers are, I mean, I feel like if we're talking about stats in basketball or numbers in that regard, they, I think they're helpful.
Yes.
So I'll say underrated. I think they can tell a lot if they're used in the right way.
Okay. I agree. Probably numbers are underrated. I do like math, and I like numbers. Now, we talked about letters as numbers, which is more advanced, which seems kind of weird. Not big into that, but I do think stats are huge, and you know, maybe find the right balance between between what the numbers tell you and the eye test. Maybe sometimes you could have there's some things in there. We'll dig a little bit deeper into that in a little bit too. And the last one, which may be the most random, I don't know, it's more random than reptiles or not, but Michigan. So we're talking University of Michigan. Big Blue.
I'll say underrated because they have the Fab Five and they have Jim Harbaugh. He's a pretty good coach, I guess. I mean, I don't know a lot about football, but I'll say underrated.
Okay. I mean, they're Jumpman school. I mean, yes, one of the big names.
That's a big
Fab Five, which. I was not super young. You were not born when Carolina beat the Fab Five.
I only know what I've seen from documentaries.
So the Fab Five was a pretty cool thing, you know. They're why me and everybody else started wearing black socks when they were playing basketball. Before that, it was white socks.
So that trend carried to my generation because it was all black socks when I was in high school. And then now it's white more so with the younger kids, but...
Yeah, that was a big deal. I remember that, and the longer shorts, and they were just real good. I remember that year staying up with Fab Five with my dad. There used to be, I don't know if it's still a thing, there was like the Alaskan Shootout. Great Alaskan Shootout was like a big college tournament. Now it's more like, let's go someplace hot, right, for basketball. Yeah. But Carolina played Michigan that year in that tournament and lost. It was like a Jalen Rose like tip in at the buzzer type thing. They lost to him in the regular season, and then they came back and beat him in the tournament. I remember my dad was actually on Franklin Street for that one. Like, he was down there for work, and he came back and like brought me a T-shirt from Franklin Street the next day that had the national championship on it. So
that's pretty cool.
So yeah, so underrated for Michigan. I don't know. Maybe I'm indifferent on that. I won't dive in too far into Juwan Howard and some of his.
I guess I could have probably said indifferent too, but I went with.
I get it. That's the big school, huge following, and all that. And we'll get into why. We'll go ahead and jump into the whys here. So the first one, reptiles. I just noticed, maybe I've seen it before, but you got some Crocs for. The school, right? That was like a fundraiser for basketball.
Yes.
Is that what that was? So I really want to talk about Crocs, the shoe. All
right.
So what's your take on Crocs? That's the real question I want to know.
So I have never owned a pair.
I have not either.
And until this fundraiser.
Now you got one. You got to get one, right? You're doing the fundraiser.
That was the only thing that in my mind was telling me maybe I should choose another fundraiser.
Okay.
But I decided to go with it anyways. I was like, that's fine. I'll get some. But, I've never loved the way they look. So I've never really tried them out.
Right.
I've always heard they're super comfortable, but in my mind, I can find other comfortable shoes that I like the way they look, too.
I could see you as a guy that does, you know, you're a baller. You want to have shoes that look good. I understand that.
So, I was never in the Croc movement, really, but... I will say I have worn these a couple times, and they do feel good. They're easy to slide on, so they have their perks, I guess. But
have you gone into four-wheel drive with them?
Yes.
Okay.
With strap down.
Strap up on the back down?
Up on the back.
Yeah.
That's how I wear them.
You wear them these.
Sports mode is what the kids told me.
Okay.
Sports
mode. Four-wheel drive is probably old. I was hearing somebody say they were – I was in Elkin earlier, and they said bet. And she was just like, who this person is. Like, somebody told me I'm too old to say bet. She's like, I'm 21 years old. So I'm like, Wow, I really can't say bet. You can't say bet. So, yeah, okay. Sports mode for
the
Crocs.
What the context was, why do you have your Crocs in sports mode? That's what okay. she asked me. I was like, I like them that way. Okay. I don't know.
So, I have heard, don't knock it till you croc it. But I've never had a pair. Don't have any interest.
We have a few extra with the Star Mount Ram head on it. So, if you want a pair,
I feel like that could be some kind of bet that we could make that if I lost it, I would wear Crocs, Star Mount Crocs, not just Crocs, Star Mount Crocs. That would be interesting. So we can think about
wearing
that.
Wear them to church.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay. I could see a bet coming now. So, okay. We'll talk about that one. So, numbers. I talked about this a little bit, but thinking about, I guess, analytics, I think that's a big thing in sports now. I don't know if it's as big a thing for you in high school or if you have the time to dive into as deep of the numbers of the game as the college and the pros do. But what's your take on stats, be it shooting percentages, true shooting, what's a good shot based on the percentages? So how does that factor into your coaching?
We definitely use numbers. I mean, we keep stats every game, and we'll go back on film and double check, make sure we have the right numbers, because that's important. But we use them just to kind of illustrate to the kids our strengths and weaknesses as a team, or maybe not weaknesses, but things we need to get better at, challenges. I mean, so if we're shooting 20% from the three-point line, you know, we'll say, hey, we need to start looking to get it in more, or work on our three-point shot in practice, but until we get that percentage up, you know, stuff like that. We'll look at the rebounds for us versus the other team, and that's always a big stat for us, rebounds. I mean, we have a good-sized team this year,
right?
So we feel like we should win the rebound war a lot if we box out and do what we're supposed to do. But so we use them in that way, but we don't do a lot of advanced number stuff. I mean, we don't calculate up player efficiency ratings, or we don't, I'm not saying I wouldn't use this one, but we don't have plus minus on our stat app. I actually like that one, but it's something we haven't used yet. So I guess a happy medium for me with numbers. Not totally data driven, but it's important.
Sure, for sure. But I feel like probably as a coach, with your staff, you guys probably have a pretty good eye for what's going on. Probably most of the time what you see would be backed up by the numbers, I would think, if you have a...
Yeah, we like to think so. I mean, a lot of times the things, like you said, that we're seeing or that we come in and talk about at halftime, we just get to use those numbers to kind of back that up.
Sure.
And kind of show that point more. But.
Yeah. So if anybody out there is listening, like, what's this plus minus and stuff, that's the easy one. Basically, when you're on the court... what's the score in the game, or like, are you, when you're on the court, does your team outscore the other team or not?
Yeah.
Based on an individual player basis, and you would think there would be some correlation to the way that you play as an individual and whether or not your team is successful when you're on the court.
For sure. I mean, I think that stat is relevant for sure. There are some people that kind of doubt it and say, oh, it doesn't mean that much. I mean, I think even LeBron James has tweeted about plus minus not meaning that much before, but I don't know. I think it could definitely help and show what groups are playing well together.
For sure.
If nothing else.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree that numbers are part of where we are, and, you know, kind of even I heard somebody talk about Moneyball, you know, those today from the Oakland A's and all their stats they did for baseball and how, I mean, numbers do help to paint the picture of what's going on. So. I was just curious how that looked for a high school team. A little different, but you said they are important for sure. So, all right, next one is Michigan. So, a couple of things here. The first one I'll talk about and kind of set you up here would be Jim Harbaugh is their football coach. And there was this big thing that I didn't know had changed until recently. So he had been famous for a while for wearing, like, $7 Walmart khaki pants. I don't know if you know this or not.
I did not know that.
Like, for the longest time, like, he would coach in, like, the ones with pleats in them, the same pair of pants. So I actually was talking with somebody the other day. Shout out to Henry Stone, Sam's brother, who's a coach at App State. He had said that Harbaugh is no longer wearing Walmart pants. He's actually wearing the Lululemon. So he has stepped way up in his game. But I thought of that and just kind of being with COVID and how, like, you see a lot more coaches who are dressing down now to coach, particularly basketball. So I was just curious as to where you stand on that. And I've seen you in the tie before. So what's your preferred attire when you're coaching?
I guess I could go either way. What we do here most of the time is, like, we'll tell our guys we have sweatsuit travel suits, like sweatpants and hoodies. And for away games, we tell them to wear that. And coaches will kind of wear just like a collared shirt, khakis.
Okay.
That's kind of our dress down games, away games.
Away and games. Makes sense.
Traveling the bus. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be in a tie doing all that.
Sure.
But home games, and it hasn't happened every single home game, but most home games we dress up, and that's when I wear the tie. And I like dressing up for games. It's a big thing for us and what we're working towards, and, you know, it's important, the games and the season and what we're working towards. So I think that dressing up for it and showing that you're there for business,
yeah, for sure,
is something that I like to do. But
do you see that coming back in, I mean, I say particularly college basketball, or do you think the coaches are loving the dressing down so much that maybe it's here to stay?
Yeah, it might be here to stay. I know most are going that way, and high school too. I mean, most guys I don't see wearing ties a lot anymore. I'll see some, but I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Okay. I was curious. Also, just thinking it's probably a good way to sell some more of your merchandise if you're wearing a nice polo shirt with the Nike swoosh on it or Adidas or whatever.
That's true. You'll
probably get more people to buy them.
Yeah, that's true.
I do miss those days of the Roy Williams Blazers, though. He had some good jackets you pull out back in the
day. Oh, yeah. The plaid.
Oh, yeah.
Checkered and all that, yeah. And then the Jordans with the suits.
Jordans with the suit, yeah. Always an interesting combo. I never thought I could pull that one off. But, you know, some people can do that for sure. So, okay, so that's kind of the tie in there with Michigan on one front. The other front would be, you know, Michigan, Ohio State football, huge rivalry. You know, both teams made the playoffs this year. It's a big deal. So just thinking about rivalries in general, with you having a rivalry game coming up on Friday, what would you say is the biggest rivalry in sports? It's not a question, right?
Hands down, Carolina and Duke basketball. Hands down.
I think it's pretty clear. Man, I don't think we can talk about this. So did we just totally just, barring losing to Duke in the national championship, have we just kind of owned it right now with beating Coach K and in the Final Four?
That just, like, for that era ends the debate for me. But, you know, Duke fans would obviously disagree. But
yeah,
that was definitely an amazing way to go out of that era of Coach K.
What was your level of nervousness going into the Final Four game? Did you find yourself being pretty nervous?
I was nervous, but also we were kind of in the role where we didn't have as much to lose.
Sure.
I mean, we did. It's a Final Four game.
Right.
And we're Carolina basketball. But, you know, the favorite was Duke. Oh, we had beat them once is the narrative, so it's not going to happen again in the tournament. And Coach K's last game against Carolina again.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, all the hype, and everyone's thinking, you know, Duke's going to get this one back.
Right.
So it was kind of, I don't know, less pressure as a fan, kind of in my mind. But they went out and played well.
Yeah, played great and were clutch for sure. I mean, if Caleb Love, can you come back?
Yeah.
That Caleb Love,
we need that. We need that guy this year. Yeah.
Maybe last night he turned it on for just a few minutes, but maybe he can find that again. So Carolina Duke, biggest rivalry, makes sense. What about you as a player, either in high school or college? You guys have big rivals, and what were those atmospheres like?
Yeah, in high school, at East, we didn't have like the most team success while I was there. So we struggled a lot as a team, but the games we really got up for in that county were West Wilkes and Elkin.
Okay.
West Wilkes and Elkin. Those were the two that it got a little chippy at times, right. And you know, a lot of times there was some dislike between some of the players, and the student sections were always in full attendance for those games.
Sure.
Loud environment. So that was fun. One game in particular that sticks out in my mind is with Elkin my senior year. They were undefeated in conference, I think, at that point. They were like 12-0, 13-0, something like that. And we played them at their place the second game. The first game, they had beat us pretty handily. And we ended up taking them into overtime. One of my teammates, McKinley Johnson, I'll never forget this. Like, he scored 5 points in 5 seconds. We were down five.
Wow.
And he got a rebound, put it back in for two, puts us down three. Elkin throws the ball in and didn't have to because it was under 5 seconds.
Oh, the clock quit and ran out.
Yeah.
Just held the ball.
But we got a steal. That same guy that just got that layup was in the corner, kicked it to him. He knocked the three down at the buzzer. So we were going crazy. We ended up losing at the buzzer in overtime.
Oh,
but
it was still
a really big game for us.
Sure.
In a lot of people's minds, we weren't even supposed to be in that one. So it was a big game. And then college, I would say the whole time I was there, it was King College. And early on, in the first few years I was there, they normally got the best of us.
Mm-hmm.
They were always a top team, and that was kind of what we were working towards.
Right.
So that game always meant a lot. Like, we played them on our senior night my senior year. And my senior year, we ended up splitting with them.
Okay.
And so we had kind of, you know, reached that level of competitiveness that we were trying to get to up there with the top teams in the conference. So they were always a team we like to get.
Gotcha. All right, well, looking forward to Friday. I'm going to make sure I say it in case I forget. Something cool that's going on that's kind of a tie-in between our church, Kawhi Church, and Four Bush Booster Club. Any church staff member in the county and their family can get in the game for free.
Okay.
So trying to get some people out there and just kind of recognize our pastors and staff in the area. There's a talk of maybe a little knockout game at a halftime between church staff. So we'll see how that goes. But if anybody's having you listening and you're on staff, or get your pastor out there, see how it's going. Yeah. So that's a good. We can bring it up. Church call right now. I saw you guys are having some success. I saw you throw one down a couple of weeks ago. Your brother is playing really well. So
that's my cousin. That was my cousin.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's really good. Okay, that's somewhere that was your brother. So, Joa.
Yeah,
Joa.
That's
Logan. Your cousin. He can play. So
yeah,
can you.
He can.
So can some of quite a few guys on your team. So
well, thank you.
Yeah. So that's fun. You guys got a good squad going. Have y'all lost yet?
No.
You don't
we
plan
played.
On losing, right?
That's not it. Not in the plans. But a lot can happen in church league.
Yeah.
It's not. Nothing's guaranteed, for sure. That's a good league. It's competitive. I mean,
it has gotten much more. So you guys are doing well. Just wanted to give you a shout-out. If any of your players are listening, you don't know your coach can still play ball. He's good. He's on a good squad. And you got other coaches at this school that can play ball as well. So, that's a good time, good fun. Whenever I remember, it's first, it's for fun. And then we want to win, too.
Yes,
So...
Well, they get a little heated sometimes, and
yeah.
I've never been much of a trash talker. I'm just pretty quiet the whole time I play. But
right.
There's some trash talk that gets started sometimes. I'm like, guys, you know, it's church league, man.
It's easy in that moment to let the testosterone get the best of
you. Oh, yeah.
For sure. So I've got to remember that it is church league. It is for fun. And I've got to remember, it is for exercise, right?
But, yes, that is a big part of it.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to transition a little bit to kind of talking about coaching. We have talked a little bit about you as a player, so we'll kind of jump into what was it that got you into coaching and coach teaching? Was it kind of you wanted to do both? You knew you would always want to do both, or was it, you know, I'm going to teach so I can coach, or vice versa? Or what's got you to here in this spot as far as coaching goes?
It mainly goes back to my parents, probably. My mom is a teacher. She teaches middle school this year for the first year, but she had been elementary for her whole career before this year. So she's always taught, and my dad, he has coached some. When I was growing up, I mean, he was my first coach just in the driveway, but he coached football, some football, youth football, and I would always go to those practices with him and just kind of be his tag along. So yeah. I've always been around that. Okay. Been in school around my mom that's a teacher,
yeah,
and around sports with a coach for a dad. So I knew it was something that I could potentially do and something I was interested in doing. So when I went to college, that was kind of the route I pursued. I did get off of that route for a short time. I was actually in nursing school for a couple of years. Turns out that's not what I wanted to do.
Right.
After doing clinicals, I found out that wasn't what I wanted to do.
Okay.
So I kind of went back to my roots and what I thought I initially wanted to do, which was teaching and coaching. So that's kind of how I ended up there.
That makes sense. My mom was a kindergarten teacher. I spent a lot of time at my elementary school. And also then she was a basketball and softball coach there too, back when we had the K-8 schools going here in Yakin. So I understand that, being around it and developing a love for sports and for that too. So I'm kind of now to the point of just coaching my kids more or less, but I've had a lot of fun coaching some high school and all that, so that makes total sense why you come into that, your call in your career right now. I think you're right there in it. So looking along those lines, what are you looking for in a player? Like, what qualities are you looking for in somebody that's gonna make your team, that's gonna get court time? What are you looking at out of the guys who are on your team?
I would say the thing that I probably end up talking the most about, and the thing that really it means a lot to me if the player can develop this or has this already, but it's just toughness and resiliency.
Okay.
You know, we talk about controllables a lot and what you can control. You can always control your attitude. Mm-hmm. You can always control your effort. You can't always control if it's going in.
Right.
But you can control how hard you're going to work on defense, and that's an every possession type thing is what we try and preach. So really just toughness, resiliency, and being able to maintain a positive attitude when things aren't going well or if the shots aren't falling, just – keeping your head, next play mentality. I mean, that's something we talk about a lot. So that's what I love to see in players, guys that just stay the course regardless of the adversity. And that's much easier said than done, I know, and much easier said than done for me too.
Sure.
But
so
that's,
keeping a level head,
yeah,
keeping your effort up even if things aren't going right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's real good. So can you talk a little bit about your team this year? I know last year you guys seemed to have a lot of injuries, and maybe it was a tough year. It seems like things are going a little better this year. You got some height this time. I feel like you got some athleticism. So just talk a little bit about your team this season.
Yeah, I love this team. We have a lot of seniors, a lot of returners. We have 8 seniors, and so we've got a lot of guys with experience in the locker room, and that's always helpful. And they're all friends, which makes a huge difference. They're close. They care about each other on and off the court, and that always, if you've played sports, you kind of know what a difference that can make, because you can have all the pieces on paper, but if the chemistry's not there, then a lot can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that, and I love that about these guys. The other thing that this team, another thing I love about this team is that we have had ups and downs this year.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, every team is going to have some ups and downs, but we've taken a couple on the chin, and we've also had some really good games. And, you know, I like the way that we've responded after those tough ones. They've committed to going in and working hard after that, and you know, trying to improve on the things we talk about, and I feel like we have buy-in from all the guys, and that's, we appreciate that a lot as coaching coaches. But yeah,
there any guys maybe you want to highlight? I know you let's say somebody's going to come in and watch the game on Friday night. They don't have a clue about either school, or, I mean, are there guys to look out for, guys you think are going to maybe step up and have a big game for you on Friday?
We definitely offensively this year have been pretty balanced.
Okay.
That's the thing about these guys, they share the ball. Like, they're not concerned with who has the most points. I will say we have two really good big men for our league inside. I think they work really hard, and they're both averaging double-digit points and rebounds.
Oh, wow.
Not double-digit rebounds, but double-digit points. And I think one is like 9 rebounds, one's 7.
Okay.
So they're working really hard and doing a lot for us. We have really – I would say we have really quick guards that work hard defensively and have abilities at getting to the basket. Xavier King, he runs the floor for us. He's a point guard. Zach Desern is another one that can bring it up the floor and kind of run the show, per se. He's like a coach on the floor. And then Jadon Hurt-Bailey, Preston Williams, they're both energy, defensive guys that just get after it the whole time and really bring us a spark when they're in there. Everybody plays a role and does some good things for us, so that's the exciting part about this team.
So you got a good balanced squad. It's not like you got one guy out there, you know, scoring 30 or 40 a game.
Yeah.
It's real balanced. Everybody's – maybe somebody could break out, but you're used to it being a very
– Yeah, it's
very
more,
even.
More balanced most of the time.
Okay. That sounds good. Looking forward to that game. I mean, you know, Fort Bush, I want to get – and talk to you guys too at some point. I'm talking to you through this microphone. And they kind of had a down year. I mean, it was kind of a tough time for them, but – like you said, it's a rivalry game. Going back to that Duke Carolina game, you just never knew. I mean, the couple years, I remember when I was younger, Duke was bad. They took like an amazing UNC team to overtime. So, just basically, I mean, I'm sure you're telling your guys this. The other side's going to get up for a rivalry game, and you just, you know, you can't just take anything for granted. So, I'm sure you guys have talked about that. You're probably expecting to win, and on paper should, but you just never know. That's why you're playing the game,
sure.
Right?
I mean, that's the thing about rivalry games and any game, honestly. I mean, which rivalries even more so with this, but we just talk about preparing for every opponent, respecting our opponents, and we definitely respect Fort Bush. They played hard the last time we were here, and it was close for parts of the game, and then other parts fell our way in the second half, but We are prepping for them and getting ready and knowing that it's a rivalry game where the crowd's going to be loud and involved the kids are going to be playing hard and everybody's going to want it. So we're just preaching that and trying to get these guys ready to go out there and play hard and want it.
Kind of like what you said, just control what you could control.
Yeah.
Your effort, your attitude, and, you know, let the game fall as it will. So, one last question I kind of like to ask coaches would be, maybe you step back, you know, years down the road and kind of see the legacy you've built here or wherever it may be. You know, maybe you stay here forever, maybe you go to some different schools, or maybe 10 years down the road, one of these guys you've mentioned comes back into your office. Like, what do you want to have instilled in them? What are the things you want them to remember, or the things you want people who know you from being a coach to say about you when your time is up, or when they come back to see you?
Hopefully they'll remember the core stuff that we're trying to teach. I hope that they'll remember, you know, that I love them, that I care about them first off, and that we're here for more than basketball. On the door it says you're not a 4-year investment, you're a 40-plus-year investment.
Okay.
That was actually from the previous coach, Coach Horton, that was on the door, and I left it there because it is great. We're trying to, you know, invest time and care into them that will last longer than high school. And when they come back and say, you know, just coming back and talking or texting my phone, you know, I have some players that have done that from East Wilkes that are in college now, and that's definitely a rewarding part of coaching. Knowing that you are positively influencing them in some way. And even when there's, you know, hard times, or there may be times that they feel like they can't stand me.
Yeah.
But hopefully at the end of the day, they'll know that I was trying to do what's best for them, and just trying to make them the best that they could be, not only here but later.
Sure. That's awesome. I love that you're hearing back from guys in the past, and I think that I'll continue knowing you and the heart that you have for these guys and for the game as well. So I appreciate your time today. Busy man, we're right here in exam time, prepping for the rivalry game. So thanks for letting me come and talk with you for a little bit. And if you guys are listening, Varsity Boys probably tipping around 8, something like that.
It's normally around 8, yeah.
Okay, but come at 4 and stay all afternoon.
Yeah.
From JV girls all the way up through, and then the guys closing the night out, Coach Wallace leading the visiting Rams into Fort Bliss. So looking forward to being there again. Church staff in the county, get in for free, come and enjoy it, and maybe you can win a knockout game in amongst all that. But Avery, thanks again for your time. Thanks for having me. Thanks for clearing out your space for me to come in here even today. So I appreciate it, and I appreciate your friendship, and thanks for being on today.
Appreciate you.